are now tuned into The Lounge on the Rockbox Radio.
What's up? I just heard myself. What's up, everybody? This is The Lounge season. Are we on season two, three? Episode two, at any rate. My name is Chiggity, aka Chiggity, Chiggady on Twitter. Hit me up if you guys have any questions or comments, or hit us up at the Rockbox, also on Twitter. Today we have a new addition to the cast, Mr. Solomon Walters.
Oh, government name.
Sorry. So you want to tell us a little about yourself?
Yeah, what you want to know?
Everything.
Well, I can't give you all that. I am a mortgage banker for J.P. Morgan Chase. I've been there for about 6 years.
You like long walks on the beach?
Yeah, I'm a sensitive dude. Not okay. Really, though.
The rest of the crew is here, so I'll go around and let everybody introduce themselves, starting with Raphael.
This is Raphael, at next by Raphael, R-A-P-H-A-E-L, on the Twitters.
All right, Daryl, and you can reach me at DMJBasic on Twitter, Yahoo, and Gmail. DMJBASIC. There you go, DMJBasic.
This is Michelle, and you can reach me at Shells is Winning, Chells. Word is the word winning on all platforms.
Angel Dolores of Allegra Dolores, that's A-L-L-E-G-R-A, capital D-O-L-O-R-E-S.
All right, today we have a number of topics. If you go to our La Rockbox Instagram page, you can see some of the topics that we're discussing today. Since we were just watching Bill Maher, Mayor?
Maher.
Sorry. since we were just watching Bill Maher, and he was discussing the government shutdown, so I thought we would start with that. Anybody have any interesting thoughts on the government shutdown? What do you guys think about it? Whose fault do you think it is?
It's Republicans' fault. Everybody knows that.
I think everybody's kind of unanimous on that now.
And it's our fault for thinking that the Republicans have any concern for anyone other than the very selected group of people that vote for them. I felt like I was lecturing someone, and they were saying, oh, well, we just won't vote them in office again. And I'm like, you don't vote for Michelle Bachmann, and you don't vote for John Boehner,
nope.
And they could care less what black folks in Chicago think about them, because they're never going to run for a national office, so what do they care if they shut it down? And more importantly, I'm curious as to why we believe that the sons and daughters of the Jim Crow Klan's mentality would function in any other form than what they should. They're trying to maintain the status quo. So I'm shocked that everybody is shocked that they did what they do.
I think what intrigues me most is that it's like a lot of their constituents, to my understanding, are not just rich white people. They are poor white people as well.
Yeah.
What shocks me is that poor white people don't seem to understand that they are the same as anybody else who's poor.
Right.
Where it becomes more of a, it doesn't become like a class thing as opposed to being a race thing. That's what I'm always disappointed by.
There's an ideology, there's a Republican ideology that is, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps type of thing. I think that is what is fueling most of Republican ideals. I think that Obamacare is socialist. I think they view it as something, as another government program that people who are undeserving are going to actually get and take advantage of. Anything that's created, people are going to take advantage of it. Somebody builds it, somebody's going to try to figure a way to tear it down. That's just the way it goes. There is not a program written that somebody is not getting over on. That does not mean it's a bad thing. I don't necessarily think people are shocked about what Republicans are doing. I just think that there's something to be said about how far they're going this time, because now it's kind of like, screw everybody. We don't want Obamacare. The shutdown has absolutely nothing to do with Obamacare. Right. Nothing.
I wish it was socialist, first of all. I wish everybody was guaranteed medical care. Then I would be even happy about it. The truth is, people get to choose what plan they're buying.
And you know what? Yeah.
Get the rate. So, I mean, yeah. This shutdown really is, they don't like really the president. And for as much as they say they love the Constitution, it already made it through the Supreme Court. John Stewart had me laughing because mm-hmm. he was like, listen, it's the basis of law. Mm-hmm. It went through the Supreme Court. They upheld it. It's constitutional. Now Republicans are like, negotiate with us. There's no negotiation. It passed. It went through the whole trajectory. It went to Congress. It passed through Congress. It went to the Senate. It passed through the Senate. The president signed it. You took it to the Supreme Court. They said it's the law of the land. So you said, fine, it's the law of the land. I'm going to take, not, no, no, no. I'm going to padlock the ball field because my daddy gave me a padlock. Not that it's right or fair. I'm just going to stop everything then.
Exactly. You won't give me this. I'm going to take something else.
Will Brown, who couldn't be with us, wants to chime in. He wants to go back to the original question or the original statement about Republicans not caring about black folk in Chicago. He's asking, does he think Democrats care about black folks in Chicago?
I think Democrats care about black folk votes.
I'm not even sure I'll buy that, but. When I said the Republicans didn't care about black folks in Chicago, I was talking very specifically about a conversation I had with people saying, well, we'll just vote out Boehner or Bachman. And I was amazed by the number of people who don't fully understand. And, okay, I was a history teacher for 10 years. And so I'm always in this sort of, do we need to reintroduce civics? Mm-hmm. Do people, like, not understand that Mm-mm. Congress, yeah. all Congress is voted on by their districts or their state? And if you're not in their district or you're not in their state, they really don't care what you think, because you're not going to vote for them and you can't hurt them. And as you pointed out, the poor white people who are voting for them connect to them. Right or wrong, they see some identification. Do I think the Democrats? No, I don't think politicians in general care about the general populace, but now I'm being cynical. But
I'm going to say something that's probably really controversial, but I don't actually believe that it's necessary for politicians to care about black people or Latinos. I think it's just, they just need to care about the masses. They need to be writing laws that are good for the majority, not anybody's minority. That is the problem with Republicans. I actually agree with more Republican ideals than Democratic, but I hate Republicans. I don't like Republicans at all because they spend the majority of their time doing things that actually protect that 1%, that small part of the population. It even irritates me when African Americans don't support Obama because they feel like he hasn't done enough for blacks. And I feel like that's the dumbest thing he could have done going into office, was try to do a bunch of things for black people. He needs to be the president of the United States. Of the United States, of everybody. He needs to be representing the majority, not the minority. Not saying that he needs to ignore the smaller groups, but he can't be focusing on the smaller groups.
I think you hit it on the head, because if they make laws for the masses, then everyone begins to benefit. So the truth is, healthcare and everyone from Canada to England to the Netherlands, the truth is, it benefits the whole when people have the basic access to basic health care. Like, I just can't understand the debate that would say that you don't care for people, especially in a society where we say, in the worst case scenario, go into an emergency room and they have to provide you enough care that you don't die. Then they can kick you back out. As long as you won't die when they kick you out, you're good. The cost of that kills everything. Why not just provide basic preventative care to everyone and then move forward?
Well, the hypocrisy in what they're talking about is, if let's say that Obamacare is not on the books, and one of the biggest thing about Obamacare is that it requires people to carry health insurance. There are tax penalties if you don't. Let's take Obamacare off the books years ago when there was no Obamacare, right?
Right.
if I have no insurance and I get hurt severely, I go to county. County has to take care of me. Where does that cost go to? Nothing is free. Ever heard the term? There's nothing. There's no such thing as anything free. There's no free lunch. Somebody pays for it. In the end, the taxpayers pay for it. You pay for that. That is, healthcare was the biggest driver of debt prior to Obamacare. The reason he introduced it was to, number one, take away some of those policies that were inflicting people from getting decent health care, like pre-existing conditions and stuff like that. But more importantly, those costs that were driving the actual debt ceiling. Now, Republicans keep talking about we need to cut spending. We need to seal up this debt, which is another deadline that we have coming up this week. That they're probably going to let lapse and let the U.S. start defaulting on debts, which is terrible for the economy. Terrible. Exactly.
Global economy.
But you want to defeat Obamacare, whose primary goal is to make people carry health insurance, which is going to drive down the debt. And they're not talking about it as much because Democrats don't do a good job publicizing these things, but the debt is actually decreasing because of the think the ins and outs of Obamacare.
I think my other issue with Republicans and the big huff about healthcare is that the argument is that you want the government to be smaller and thereby spend less money. My confusion is you want the government to, and I wrote something about this last week on Facebook, but I said, the government regulates education, drugs, food, women/civil rights, religion, national security, transportation, financial institutions, and just about any other facet of your life that matters, but not healthcare. That's too much. I don't understand that. I don't understand how you would be, and to be honest, the Republicans typically say, oh, well, we want the states to have more power. We want the states to be able to make more decisions. But the problem is that when the states do that, everybody has different criteria, which is why our schools are jacked up, which is why women's and civil rights are different and vary from state to state, as opposed to us, like Solomon said earlier, being the United States and all having the same level standard for specific things that should be expected.
That would be socialism.
Right, and socialism is wrong, but it's okay for you to screw over soldiers and their families, yep. And it's okay for you to close national landmarks, and it's okay for you to stop people's cancer treatments. It's okay for you to blow people's lives the hell up, and it'll pass.
Unless you're a member of Congress, and the freeze does not affect your paycheck, your benefit, your family benefit, and that goes for all members of Congress and the executive branch. So, yeah, I would like to see the shutdown mean, and I love our good president, but everybody from the president on down no longer receiving a check, and I bet you they will work through it a lot quicker than they're going to have to.
I bet you they would.
You know?
What do you think is going to happen next?
The government will start running probably within the next couple of weeks, and then but it's going to get back to this again because I mean I don't know if you've noticed this, but this mess did not happen in Bush's term, in Clinton's term. Now Clinton's term was a completely different economy. I understand that, but nobody was talking about deadlines and government shutdown deadlines. That just did not happen until this black man got in office. Now it's like we're going to fight you on everything. But to answer your question, the government will start running again, but eventually we're going to get to the next deadline, and it's going to happen over and over.
Well, Will, our buddy that's not here, just wanted to add that Obama has more conservative views than people think. And he sent us a link to a video, but I can't play it.
It's radio.
But we just wanted to know that we got his message.
Thanks, Will. We'll try to maybe post the video later after we watch it for the viewers.
And it'd be interesting for the debt ceiling because if they let us default, it's going to hurt the economy. And the 1% who makes money, who they do work for because they fund them, will be unhappy. Mm-hmm. I would be interested to see next week if they actually let us default because now that's going to impact the people they actually don't want to annoy.
Yeah.
the shutting down of the government didn't bother anybody who they're really concerned about. Tragically,
right.
You not being able to get into the World War II monument, they didn't lose any sleep over. No, the people who run Morgan Stanley not making their seven-figure bonuses,
yeah.
Different conversation
it's different.
Altogether.
Well, it's different when your credit is downgraded.
Yeah.
And that happened to us once, first time in the history of this right. country. Happened when a black man was president, because, you know, it's probably going to happen again if they don't actually vote to do something about the debt ceiling prior to the 17th.
Okay, let's have a subject change. So I have curiosity, how many of you would consider what you do a job versus a career?
I think that my current job, it will likely be my career.
Sure. What about you?
Yeah. I'm not quite sure how you're defining the two.
I would say a job is something that you do for a paycheck, whereas a career is something that you enjoy doing for a paycheck.
Hmm. How come? What's the difference between that and a hobby?
Well, hobby you don't have to necessarily get paid.
That's not true. I pursue something with the passion and the fierce fire of a thousand hot suns. Yet. There are people who refuse to pay me, and I do well at it. And I would love for that to be what is defined as a career, but...
So that technically, that probably could be a career if you could get paid at it.
But there's right? no if in this, right? So that's a hobby then, right?
I think that what defines a career is the person who's in it. I mean, if it's something that you actually want to do and are passionate about doing, then that's your career. If you want to actually spend the rest of your life doing it. There are some people, there are some artists, and I've argued with this about with a friend a few times. There's some artists, you know, music or otherwise, who may actually suck at what they do, but they love it, and they spend their life doing it. Now, they watch their friends around them basically outgrow them financially and be much more established, and they're still living kind of a hobo kind of life.
Hobo.
And a lot of people will probably say they don't have a career, they're lost, they're drifters, but to them that is their career, that's their passion.
So what makes it, what's the difference between it being a hobby and a career? Is it pay? Is it doing what you love plus being able to live off of the salary from it?
I think it's a pay thing.
Well, dictionary.com defines career as an occupation undertaken for a significant period of a person's life and with opportunities for progress.
Hmm.
So that's the formal definition of it.
I think so I have
Google hobby.
Hmm. Or job. I do that.
I think I have jobs that like make my career. I think I'm at a stage where I'm working jobs that are going to make this career, because maybe the career doesn't fully exist yet. Maybe that's your case, Asia, where, you know, you just can't find, like, this is your career path. Like, we're in the process of creating it.
Yeah, I agree.
And a hobby's an activity done regularly in one's leisure time for pleasure.
Ah.
Pleasure.
I'm not sure I'm clear still on how we're defining career, job, and I'm going to push hobby to the side. I have what most would say was a career, because the trajectory has been career based, and I wouldn't complain about the end results of it. It makes it possible for me to do the things that would be defined as hobbies. But if we go back to that thing that I was passionate about and that I could imagine myself doing for the next 30 years, I could have been in the classroom doing that if I didn't think systematically the education system was broke and there weren't a lot of other things that impacted that. And I might possibly make more now than I did in the classroom, like I did that. You like that? I worked around that very nicely. And therefore, so does that mean then you're only working for a check, and regardless of the trajectory of the career path, it's really just a job then?
I would say, for me, I would have to agree with Raphael, as far as my job leading to a career, because I'm in the field I want to be in. I work in finance. I'm in the field I want to be in, but I'm not in the role I want to be in, yet making the amount of money I would like to make. And so, it's kind of a job, but it could be a career. Mm-hmm. We're in a transitional phase.
Yeah, we're in the ballpark.
Yeah.
Maybe y'all are just deeper than me. Maybe I just want to be born with Paris Hilton's trust fund and be able to wake up every morning and just do whatever I want to do without the debates of a career or a job.
That's going to be one of my first 5 questions to Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. So, because the fact that you wake up every morning with this sort of obligation, whether you love your job or not, there's an expectation you go, you show up, and in part because you need a check.
Arguably, we could also just go back to what Saul said and say that it depends on your focus, because I'm sure that there's a food worker at McDonald's right now who is, well, okay, 2 food workers at the same McDonald's, and one might be aiming to be on the managerial track, and the other one is just there flipping the fries or flipping the burgers.
Trying to do
the fries and the burgers at the same damn time.
Yeah, I don't necessarily even think you have to enjoy it. I mean, I think that it's just about what your focus is. Like, I don't necessarily enjoy what I'm doing. And, you know, I am trying to actually make moves to get out of it, but I'm not trying to move too far. Now, if money was no object, I'd be painting and playing golf all day. I mean, you know what I mean? And I may actually have a career as a painter. I may actually try to join the PGA Tour. That is a pipe dream, though. In reality, my career is in finance, is in the financial industry. I don't necessarily love it, but that is what I dedicate my time to. And that's where I'm trying to progress in. So that is my career.
Okay, the second part of the question, and Asia, you might have some input on this, is the comfort of the money from a good job really worth passing up the uncertainty of starting a passionate career?
That's why I don't have any money right now. Because I am so completely opposite of you, dude. I have to, like, if I don't like it, everyone's gonna hate me. They're gonna hate to see my face. They're gonna hate to hear my voice. I'm gonna make you hate everything because I hate being there. And I can't. That's a horrible way to live, man. It's just, like I said, I'm not lying about the heat of 1,000 white suns. I will put it into some sort of laser beam. I am an X-Man. I know it. I will change the vibe of the room.
Completely agree with you on some level. I think that a lot of people are that way and they can't settle. And you see it. Some people are just too creative to be in an environment where they can't create. And some people are just too analytical to be in an environment where they have to create. I think it's just, you know, every person is different. I know for me personally, if I was broke, nobody would want to be around me. I wouldn't have been invited here to this show. I wouldn't care if I was spending my days paying to play golf. If I was broke, Solomon can't come. We don't want to have Solomon on the Rock Box Radio because I would be angry. So I'd be the opposite of it. You know what I mean? Everybody's different, though.
True.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You know, I was going to say, your financial obligations are totally different. I always look at the people around me who aren't. Right. And I was thinking about this earlier. Do you call a single male who is raising their child a single parent? Or, you know, just as a single mama, I feel like I'm carrying a different flag. So I'm like, okay, I have to focus on something and I have to get up and whatever I have to get up and do to make a amount of money that, A, I could pay for my child's health care or, you know, her school, because, pardon me, when it comes to education, I am an elitist and I would rather pay for the education of my daughter than put her into the socialist system of public schools. Did I go too far off topic?
No.
Maybe I did. Okay. Well, thank you. But I mean, in that, I gotta get up. I gotta go someplace where sometimes on a Monday I'm trying to churn. You know, you gonna not like Asia. You gonna give Asia a sandwich and a hug because she's it's a Monday.
Can I ask something? Because do you all think that we're do you all think that that paradigm is changing? Do you think that we're I feel like I see it changing where there are more people who are like, you know what, this is what I love to do. I'm going to find a way to do what I love to do while still paying for my bills, still paying for. And I think we're at a point now, and they're especially looking at the generation that's coming after us, that they just don't subscribe to that idea of like, well, mom, dad, or mom and or dad said that I need to get a job, so let me just go ahead and suck it up. And
I can relate to that. I grew up with my parents saying, do what you gotta do so that you can do what you wanna do. Mm-hmm. And that meant sometimes working a gig that you don't particularly like, mm-hmm. sometimes taking a class that you're not particularly interested in because you need that thing to get to the next thing you wanna get to. Mm-hmm. So I grew up on that lesson. Mm-hmm. And kinda on that, I was in an industry for 8 years doing something that I did not enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. I happened to be good at it, mm-hmm. but it wasn't rocket science, so I just went to work every day and made money, right? But recently, I left that industry and I took a pretty hefty pay cut to do what I was truly interested in doing. And I think that my life will probably be better for it.
I think what's interesting in this, I'm gonna say it real quick. I think that now our generation, we're like kind of at that crux.
Exactly.
Where people are like, you know what? We're gonna be the first to just kind of do what we want to do. The internet is affording us this opportunity because we can connect with each other a lot better. We can make money like working from home and things like that. So I think it is. And this is me like really forecasting, but like I think it's up to our generation to put in the work to get that done, so that way the next group, it's not even going to be like a true option. Like they can be happy, they will be afforded opportunities to be creative, to yada yada yada, and still be able to like live their dream and get paid for it.
Well, I think there's something to what you described though, because you put in your time, and I think there's something to what our parents said to us. The idea, and this is where I separate us from the generation coming behind us, mm-hmm. there's a sense of delusion there, which is that I don't need proof, I don't need evidence, I don't need assessment. I want to be the next hoopster, mm-hmm. rapper, supermodel, whatever it is I want to be. I haven't held a solid job for longer than 4 months.
Yep.
I can't identify any marketable skills. And you should afford me the opportunity to do these things because
I got 5,000 followers.
Exactly. Or I am, and if you had 5,000 real followers, you still might have something I want. But really, it's 1,700 followers, and the only thing we want to do is join, you know, who has the big booty club group that's private on Facebook, which holds no real meaning. Why won't you give me a job?
Who has the big
booty? Who has? It's a question mark.
I mean, it's that. So when you talk about making an, I don't want to get off that. An informed decision after 8 years of work, mm-hmm. making a decision to take a pay cut. So to work, stack your money, mm-hmm. and then say I'm going to do what I love.
Yeah.
It's very different than just saying I'm not going to work to do anything, and I should be paid to do what I love.
Now, I'm going to be, this is probably the cynic in me, but I don't think that the percentages are going to change. I think that it's going to be exactly 20, 30 years from now, I think it's going to be the exact same thing. Not necessarily in the same order, so let me clarify this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a light and a dark, there's a rich and a poor, there's a good and a bad. It just has to be that way. Some people are going to be happy in what they're doing, and some people are not. Some people are going to be extremely successful in what they're doing, and some people are not. I think that's probably what's probably going to happen is you probably will see the next generations trying to come out of, you know, when they're stepping into adulthood, trying to do exactly what makes them happy, be a little bit more rebellious, and not actually fall into, I need to go get a 9-to-5 job because I got to start paying his rent because I can't live with mom and dad no more, type of thing. But I think what's going to happen is the inverse. I think our generation was told to do that. We went to do it, and you got out of college, and for years you spent time working that job that you really don't like, and now you get to the point where I really need to find something I really want to do. I think the other generation is going to come out of college and go into adulthood trying to do those things that they do like, and probably get tired of being broke, be like, okay, I just need to go get a job now. And I think the percentages are going to stay exactly where they are. Most people are going to be unhappy with what they do on a daily basis.
Oh, no! Oh, wow!
That was darkness.
That's what I said.
Wow!
Like,
please,
say
it. Please Please, if you're having a hard life, walk away from the seat and the sharp objects now. Please.
You can't make it. I'm just saying. Everybody's not meant to be. Everybody's not meant to be super happy. It's like we all looking for extreme happiness in relationships. Everybody's not going to find that. Like, I don't want to be the, you know, ask 10 people. Go ask 10 people, are they happy with what they do? Ask different ages. The majority are going to tell you, I got to find something. I got to get out of there. I want to do something else. I'm not making enough money. I hate my boss. I hate this. I hate, that's just, I don't think that's going to change.
That may not, but I would challenge people that there is a divine call on each of our lives. Now, that assumes that you acknowledge a system of belief. I clearly do. And so I'm going to maintain that if there is a call on your life, you're operating according to the call, then there is a peace. Maybe not the sort of arbitrary fleshly happiness we talk about, but a sort of peace of contentment that will carry you through. Now, if the idea is that everyone just kind of willy-nilly does whatever they want to please their flesh for the moment, well, that's not going to lead to any sort of long-term satisfaction.
I don't think people are really aggressively trying to pursue long-term satisfaction.
And I don't think they ever will. But to challenge what you're saying, even if everyone had the belief that there was a divine call on your life, the assumption there is that divine call has something to do with your career, and it may not. It could be something completely different, and you may actually fulfill or be able to fulfill what you are called to do, and still be completely unhappy in what you do 9 to 5.
Well, what's interesting is that you separate the two, and I would challenge that maybe we shouldn't.
I don't necessarily think that if we all would agree that there is a purpose for every life, and I don't necessarily know that I subscribe to that, but if there's a purpose for every life and an actual destiny for every person, why would that have to be just in that realm of your career?
Well, that's only because the question segmented your career is separate from your life. I maintain that we have a complete plate in front of us, and some of us mix things together and get a casserole. I like my peas with the mashed potatoes. Some people might like, you see, some people hate peas, some people just like very clear lines. I just maintain that if we begin to submit ourselves to a higher calling, then maybe we're not always left to our own understanding of the world as it is, but a greater understanding that goes outside of our peace, which says that we do what we want to do to get what we want to get with little regards outside of sort of our needs.
Well, our buddy Will Brown is waiting in via Google Hangouts, and he gave us a quote from Bruce Branton. And it goes, "Nothing splendid has ever been achieved except by those who dare to believe that something inside them was superior to circumstances."
Yeah, most people are not going to subscribe to that. Most people, most people are just not going to do the work, are not going to make the sacrifices. Most people are just not going
to
do that, which
is
why.
I hate to say that, but I agree.
It's just the percentages aren't going to change, man. And
I think that everybody, you know, you grow up and you are taught that there is a specific path you have to take. Nobody is ever told, well, when you're very young, you're told, oh, you can be anything. You know, you can be a writer, you can be an astronaut, you can be a librarian.
What you gonna tell your kids?
You could be whatever you want to be.
Good question. I'll answer it.
And then as you get older, they narrow down and start chopping down the categories. No, you're not good at math, you can't be an accountant. No, you're not good at science, you can't be a scientist. No, you're not good at whatever. You're not even above average or exceptional in anything. And so you start to say, maybe I should just be an administrative assistant. Not that there's anything wrong with being an administrative assistant. Some people have talents that allow them to be successful in that area. But nobody grows up and is like, you know what I want to be? An administrative assistant. And I'm going to call people and set up meetings all day for my boss. It's going to be awesome. Nobody says that. But people start to build their dreams. That was a quotation, and it just, they fall into those categories.
Yeah, I think what really shrinks down those possibilities is, yeah, you can be anything you want to be, but you got to pay those bills in the meantime.
Right.
And can I do what I want to do and actually get that done? Because I'm looking at Instagram, I'm looking at Twitter, and I'm looking at Facebook, and man, my man just got his new car. Oh, I just went to this house one where they got a beautiful place. And I'm still in this apartment. Am I ever going to buy a crib? Am I ever going to get that luxury car? I think that actually most people are going to change what's important to them for the moment because they're going to want that stuff.
They're going to change themselves and not their environment.
I got sad all of a sudden.
How would you cry? I'm looking for the sharp object. Not really.
Because you do want to be able to say, okay, people will aspire and people will do better and they will want to do better and they will want to shoot for the gold stars. The reality of that is the majority of people will not do that.
Right. We're not the majority then.
I'm not.
In that case, it's like, I understand completely because at the same time, it's like, you know, there are people who are perfectly fine with their 9-to-5s doing whatever, mm-hmm. but they put all their love into their family. Mm-hmm. You know, when they go home, they're the best parent, and that's where they put their love in. They have hobbies and all that stuff, and that's what they put their love into. Now, I understand that. But that's just, some people aren't that. Some people just can't, because I understand completely, Asia. If I had to work like a regular job, mm-hmm. I would be a terrible person. Mm-hmm. I would do terrible work. Like, I had to, like, I had a job like that where I was like, I'm not giving this job my all, and I don't ever expect to give this job my all. I need to leave this job because the people around me are suffering because of it. So, some people, they just got to do it, you know? I'm curious, and before we move on to the next subject, Michelle.
Yes.
So, at what point did you just say, that's it, I have to leave, because I think for a lot of people, there are people who are just like you, who are like, I got this other thing that I know that I might not get the money for it, I might have to take a hit, but I gotta jump.
For me, I knew 2 years into that gig that was not what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And I almost got complacent because I had a job where as long as you don't mess the money up, you get a raise every year. And then at year 7, when I would be like, you know, I had my peers where I would like cry before I went to work. You shouldn't have a gig where you damn cry before you go to work, okay? So
7 in the morning.
At a point, you know, I don't know. I had a discussion with my parents. They kind of were like, oh, and I'm sorry. And in real talk, I was kind of an asshole for having this job. And when I was let go from my job, but it wasn't because it was my fault. It was like a blessing in disguise. And at that point, I took advantage of the fact that I was receiving unemployment to start looking for a job that I wanted. I said, I'm not taking not another gig that I'm not truly interested in. And I was just really blessed to have parents that are really supportive. And there's a lot of adults that don't have that luxury.
Yep.
Out of curiosity, did you have any, I'm sorry, this is kind of a personal question, but did you have like savings or anything?
I did. I did have savings. I had a good paying job. So like I had money. So I was straight for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Then money got thin though. And so I leaned on my parents. Like I said, you know, just everybody doesn't have disposable income to help their grown kids. So I was just super duper fortunate. And then just me having pride and stuff eventually made me get a real job because I just don't want to be in my 30s in my parents' pocket. That's not cool for me.
Right.
But I don't know if I answered your question. Yeah. Did I answer it? Now, Will Brown weighed in on this. And I'm going to quote. He says, in 7 years, I've earned 4 licenses, series 3, 7, 30, 63, did a small IPO, traded physical natural gas and other financial products, all because someone told me in my first job I couldn't do it. And then he says, someone gave Shells a hug.
I don't know if y'all remember, this is kind of funny, but Chris Rock in one of his stand-ups, he was like, they are never going to find a cure for AIDS. Never, ever, ever. And I completely agree with him. They're never going to find a cure for AIDS. This is money and the medicine. But he said, what they will do is find a way for you to live with it. He said, eventually, people will be like, call in to work, like, I can't come in, my AIDS is acting up. It's like it's a cold or something like that. I think it's the exact same thing when it comes to most people's careers. You're never going to find a cure for that unhappiness at work. What you will find is a career that you can actually live with. You ain't necessarily going to be completely happy with it, but you won't be completely unhappy with it. It ain't like I'm about to die because I got this AIDS career.
And that's all you need.
I'll have a career where it's cool enough for me to actually survive and live the way I want to live. Some people are going to still don't have that bad career, but I think the majority of people will find that.
So, if I understand, so your career doesn't have to be terminal. It's just, what is it? What's the term for, now, I actually have it classified, diabetes, AIDS. It's a long-term something you can with medicine live with. What is it? Chronic.
Yeah.
So your career is chronic and not terminal. I don't agree. I'm just trying to make sure I'm understanding. Is that how we're defining
career? Most people are going to find a way to make it. They won't be. In other words, they won't actually cry when they get up in the morning. They'd be like, "Damn, I don't feel like going to work."
Yeah,
but they'd be like,
they can have a sip of the happy juice. They can do some sort of foreign drug. Yeah, wow, this is really depressing. I'm maintaining people can get them some real joy and don't have to wake up in TNE to go to work.
Just not the majority.
I don't think the majority could.
Yeah,
they could. Now they might too late to.
We could be in the Matrix right now. I mean,
No. It's not that arbitrary.
I think it's that unlikely, personally. But again, y'all probably shouldn't have invited me because I'm a sinner.
Absolutely, I think. Hey, we don't have to agree. We love that.
Because you need a devil's advocate, if you will.
Oh wow.
Okay, let's. Let's go to the next subject. Okay, so let's talk about y'all want to talk about single women or marriage?
Oh God,
what's the difference?
Touche.
No, seriously.
Well, the marriage question was about the traditional form of marriage dying and what's acceptable and unacceptable in today's relationships. Also, whether it was the purpose in traditional marriages versus just going to the city hall.
What's the second one?
And the single woman one is, can single women ever really win? / why is having a man considered a win for a woman? And are women still defined by their marriage and child status?
The latter.
Okay, yeah. Then let's go with that. So, can single women ever really win? I'm going to go with no.
Win what?
Well, I don't know. I'm like, what is the name?
So, I don't think I wrote this question, but the idea is, can single women ever really, it's win is in quote unquotes, is in quotation. So my understanding was, can single women ever be in a position where they won't need a man to be considered successful or
no,
like their life has been fulfilled? I'm with all. I say no.
I don't think so.
Welcome, Rob.
What's up, y'all?
Oh, Rob didn't get his introduction.
Nah, it's cool. We don't need that. Society is tough on women. Like, really tough on women.
Wait, you're
going
to have to come on
in.
Oh, my bad.
No, smoothness got to get
excuse me. Got the sexy lights on in there. Right down. I think that, you know, society places a lot of demands on women in general. And it's just a lot of weight in terms of relationship and marriage that gets placed on women. I say a good, well, not probably, but most of the time. And we as men, we don't have those responsibilities or expectations most times. You know, usually when a guy wants to settle down and even date seriously, it's a small celebration, you know? It's
like, no celebration.
It's a man, it's a man's word. This could easily be like a feminist conversation because in the question, you're saying like women are losing when they're because they are single, correct?
I personally, okay. here's my thing. I have been going through a breakup.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Every time somebody asks me how I'm doing, they say, you'll be okay, or you'll be stronger after this, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then the very next thing is, don't worry, you'll find a man that dot, dot, dot.
Sounds horrible.
There you go.
And my first thought is always to be like, and it's always women who say this.
Yeah.
Bitch. What makes you think that that's what I'm worried about right now?
Do you actually say that?
No.
No.
You should.
I'm polite.
Well, listen, you can't.
I'm polite and soft-spoken. Look, my, you know, I went to the doctor for an annual physical. My doctor said that. My coworker said that. My mom said that. And I'm like, can y'all just tell me I'm going to be okay and maybe I should just work on self-improvement or some shit?
Wait, what? Don't call your mom a bitch. Please, you are good. Exactly.
But she's not listening. I would never call my mom by her name. But still, you want to be like, why is the first thing or the second thing you think to tell me, don't worry, you'll find another man? Do you
because
really think
you
I'm
were,
worried about another
you
man?
Were told that since... I mean, not necessarily in that way, but as a child,
Ken and Barbie.
When, exactly, it's part of our culture. A little girl is crying and she's consoled. A little boy is crying. It's like, stop crying. Be a big boy. And the little girl is, oh, she's and it starts from there. It's men are taught to hide those emotions. When a man is in a relationship and he breaks up, like, man, you free.
Freedom.
You are free. When a woman breaks up with a dude, most of the time it's like, are you okay? How are you? You'll be all right.
The biggest thing is also that in American society, women, as you get older, are not looked at to be as desirable. Mm-hmm. So there's where the conflict comes in. Because it's not just, because I met several people who found out how old I am. They're like, oh, so when are you getting married? Mm. I'm like, well... You know, why does my age have to equate that? Or, you know what I mean? It's just different for men. Men can have, it all comes down to who can have babies the longest. Women got a short window. Men can have babies for the rest of their life. And that's really all it is at the end of the day. So in that, when we're going back to the marriage question, and what is the traditional concept of marriage? If I am a heterosexual woman, and let's say I'm not having any sexual intercourse with a homosexual man, yet I marry him so that we can have the benefits of it. Are, you know, with all of this, you know, overpopulation and the world is so bad and all of this procreation, are humans at a point right now where we need to keep having babies? Because at the end of the day, it's like, do you get married because, I'm sorry, I took it back to that conversation that we said we weren't going to talk about. Do you get married as a woman because you want to procreate and you want to live a life with a man that, you know, you can raise your children with, and you can have this, you know, family unit where you all are sharing the financial responsibility and the responsibility of grooming and, what's the word?
Cultivating.
No. What you do to a horse. Breeding! Where you have to learn to breathing.
I wasn't even looking at that.
Because that's what you're doing. Because it is, it's a cultivation, but I was looking for the word breeding. But, I don't know, I really struggle with this because I am getting older. My child is getting older. If I meet a man who is like, well, you know, I'm 45 and you 35, I can't marry you.
Why
you can't have no babies.
65-year-old voice, though. He's only 45. He could be debonair like
you. He don't like his job, bro. Yeah. He's stressed.
He don't. He got that chronic career.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. Women age and we are less desirable, quote unquote.
But even at the base of that, there's a question of why, you know, you have to take it back to the way people are raised. It's not considered a failure for an older man to not have any children.
Hmm.
It is for a woman. Mm-hmm. Why is there a difference there? It's prior to all of that. It's just the way you're raised. And that's why women being single, will, it's just never going to be a win. I mean, not in my lifetime. I can't see it.
I think women are raised to want a husband and 2.5 kids and all. But I think that on the subject of whether it's a win, I think we define whether it's a win. I don't think that everybody wants to be married. All women don't want to be wed. All women don't want to have little clones. So in that case, for some women, the win is managing and not get pregnant.
Right.
Right. I think that we all agree with that.
Right.
But I think the masses, or the actual idea,
the perception
of culture, that's not.
I think because we live in a patriarchy.
Absolutely.
It's a man's world.
Absolutely.
And a man's brown from the root to the tooth.
A man can have sex with multiple women, and that's like a woo. A woman,
most interesting man in the world is like 75.
It's becoming a lot. It's becoming less, though. We're still moving towards. I mean, it definitely still is a man's world, but it's less now than it was 50 years ago.
Why? You're not in the kitchen,
No. Yeah, that's a big part of it.
Okay.
Women, a lot of women are dominating the dollars. A lot of women are the breadwinners in the house.
How many of them are married? That would be a good look it up.
I don't know, but I mean, no matter what, there is a shift. Like, it's definitely a difference than the way it was in the past. So who knows, 50 years from now, I mean, it's not relevant today, but it is moving in that direction.
Out of curiosity, random, not so random question, how many of you guys would be okay with going to City Hall and getting married?
I would. Oh, wait, Will said something.
Who would I say?
Will has said, what about the expectation of a man to provide, protect, and lead? One must learn these traits to best execute these practices. Thus, why do we take their time? And he's typing something.
Yes.
Wait, side note, doesn't it drive you crazy when you can see they're typing and you're like, oh my god, what is the message?
Especially if it goes away.
Oh, yes, that. That's funny when it goes away.
So repeat that again. He was saying what happened to the days when the man and what?
What about the expectation of a man to provide, protect, and lead? One must learn these traits to best execute these practices. Ooh. Thus why many take their time.
Yeah,
that's loaded there, Will. Will needs to be here for that.
With that, how long does that take? Hang out. It's
very old fashioned.
Will needs to be here for that, because I think he's saying a multitude of things. I think he's...
He is.
And I don't want to speak for him, but I am, because I'm by the microphone. And I think what he's saying is, he's kind of giving like explanation for why some men aren't being married or whatever. But also, he's kind of saying that that's the role that we should be ascribing to. Like, is that okay with women?
Well, that's two very different things. But I will say that is absolutely not the reason why men are not getting married. It is not because they're taking their time because they want to become better husbands and providers. That ain't it. At all. I sound like the most negative person at all, but there's no fucking way that's the reason. Men are not getting married because they don't want the news.
Just not man enough yet.
They're just trying to get it right. I need to get my career back. No. They don't know. They may be just, y'all just might be kicking in until he finds something better.
You know what? And I'm going to hate myself for saying this, but there is a account that I follow on Twitter called Settle for the Win. It's Settle, S-E-T-T-L-E, for the number four, the win. And one of the guys I know from Twitter wrote this book, or maybe it was a collaboration, hell, I don't know. But it's basically about the longer men wait to settle down, the better their options of women will be. And the idea is women are getting married at, you know, a low rate. And so over time, they're going to be, quote unquote, good women left over.
Or will they get thirstier?
And that they will be thirsty as well.
They'll be thirstier.
Because, you know, you're getting older, and there'll be these women who are more accomplished, who will maybe have kids, maybe not.
And they may be less trouble.
You know, and they'll be, yeah.
Oh, I'm just saying, like, I don't agree with it, but I'm
Over time, the likelihood that, you know, the guy who's, you know, maybe not that attractive, or maybe not that, great in anything will be able to get a higher opportunity
get a better catch
for a
than
woman.
He would if he was 23.
That's already
and happened. She was like still Will brand new and out there. Raphael. But now the time has passed. What's up?
Will Brown agrees with Raphael.
And like, so basically saying that a chick who, or a woman, excuse me, who was, you know, 23 and was hot stuff, and by the time she's like 33, if she's still single, he has a better shot than he did back before. Mm-hmm. Correct?
I don't know where all of this is going, but I'm thinking we need to start putting limitations on these subpar people procreating, because this can't be good for society in general. If you're saying you're a problem, my age is coming. You're talking about subpar people. I mean, man, we have thirsty women. Yeah. We have men who... I'm sorry, how did you describe them? They bring nothing to the table. They discreetly...
I didn't say they bring nothing to the
table. That's pretty much what you said.
They bring things to the table that women want.
Okay, so nothing that a woman wants to the table. I don't know the difference. And right. And therefore, they're going to get together and then produce healthy children and a healthy family and a healthy relationship.
They produce something.
Right. All I'm maintaining is we might want to limit that. I don't have anything else to say about anything else.
Go back to the contentment argument about people's careers.
Right.
A lot of women will settle for being with somebody just for the sake of being with somebody.
We should tag this the settlement lounge. I mean, from job to relationships.
Yeah, men do this too.
And yeah, I was about to say, not that men don't do that as well.
You hear what I'm saying? The Weeknd. You just want me because I'm next. Like.
I don't listen to The Weeknd. He whines.
Yeah,
he's from his perspective or from the woman's perspective? From his perspective. He's like, you know, you don't really, you know, like me or whatever. You just, you know, because I'm another dude.
What's messing with the little booty poo chicks? Like, that's what kills me about
him. I honestly think that just sounds cynical again, but over the last 30, 40 years, major shift in family values. Mm-hmm. People are not getting married as much as they used to. Having children in a family are not as important as they used to be. I think that that's just going to continue. I don't think that people are going to be settling as much because that's not going to be such a
requirement. That was my question. Have we evolved past those certain types of...
Not completely, but it's definitely moving in that direction. So in the future, I think it's going to be less and less.
I agree with that, but I don't think people are evolving past the loneliness as much.
No, I agree with that, but I don't think that the settling means that now we're about to get married because I'm at that clock.
True.
My clock is ticking. They just don't have somebody. They'll get somebody. They may even have a kid, but I don't think that walking down the aisle is going to be like, I need to settle. I want to get married. I want to have that reception. I want to have kids. And no, it's going to be like, oh, I got this chick pregnant when I was 30 something. Well, I ended up with this chick, and you know, we still doing it. She cool.
Well, you have to be kind of naive, you know what I'm saying, when you go into marriage. I mean, that sounds crazy, but like, because I think we're the generation of like, we think we know everything, you know, so, you know. Intelligent people or whatever know not to get married or whatever.
You know what?
I have friends that all tell myself, don't get married.
There is an article though that like definitively said more intelligent, like women who are more intelligent don't get married and they don't have kids.
Yeah, but see, that's written by somebody who considers himself highly intelligent.
I think he's like,
and they're probably not married, so it's probably their idea. I'm married.
I was going to say, who's married?
Yeah, here? I'm actually married, and I didn't marry my wife because I was in love with her. I'm not expecting some fairy tale ending. I absolutely love her, and I was in love with her, but that ain't the reason we married. I married her because I felt like she would be a good life partner.
Right.
Like, we work through shit together in a good way. We make a good team. You know what I mean? Marriage to me means you're with somebody, like, you're not alone.
Yeah.
I hate the term a ride or die, like, through whatever.
That's what I'm maintaining. This is why I don't believe marriage is going to go. In all your cynicism, you chose her because you don't like the term she's ride or die. You make a good team. This is the one that was meant for you. Now, you're going to dislike my classification of it, but the idea that there is something greater in the institute that we're not made to be necessarily isolated. Mm-hmm. As mammals, we're not made to be isolated. That's not how we're made. And so while you can support, you're the one here for the moment, you made a choice that said, For you, it was something more important in the moment. It was a, you just said, the one that for the...
But see, the difference is that I'm not most people, and I think that most people get into it. I'm not. I think very different. I think that most people think of marriage as a happily ever after with somebody that I'm just going to love and be in love with forever. I don't believe that shit lasts. It does not last. It's impossible. It doesn't.
But it not lasting doesn't mean that you still can form a union that is healthy,
beneficial. I completely agree with that. But since the majority of people don't look at it for that reason, it's still going to die out.
I don't believe it's going to die. At what point don't they look at it for that reason? What age range are we talking?
Most people don't look at
their whole lives.
Don't look at marriage as a partnership. Most people look at marriage as, damn, I love this person. I want to be with this person. And that's why the majority of them fail. When that emotion starts to fade, which it does, and the only thing left is this relationship, which really ain't a great partnership, now it's time to walk away because I don't feel it anymore. And that's not necessarily the case. Most people don't think that way.
Right.
They don't.
I agree.
And yeah, I'm not agreeing with any of your classification of how most people think. I will not go on the record as
you are a living testament to the hope over experience.
I will not.
My parents have been married forever.
You're right. I will not say that. I will say that you are very right. There are people who think that way, but I'm going to maintain if 50% of marriages fail, that means 50% don't. I'm going to maintain. I'm giving you the majority.
50% of marriages succeed, but then you take away what comes right before those marriages. How many of those fail? Relationships, period. Odds are that they're going to fail.
A relationship is different than a marriage because a marriage is where you made a commitment. A relationship, there's a big old exit door for you to do. Yeah, like a marriage is much deeper than just a relationship.
It's a deeper commitment.
It is a commitment. But I don't know that a relationship necessarily has to be.
It still depends on who you ask. Some people, a relationship is a very big thing, and some people actually take it seriously. A lot of people don't. But we're talking about the masses.
Right. And again, the masses may not take relationships seriously, but they may take marriage seriously.
Okay, here's a separate question. How many of you believe that it is possible to not just love somebody for the rest of your life, monogamy, but to also expect that person to grow and change in the same direction that you do?
I do believe that you can love someone for the rest of your life. I think a part of that love, a part of even a key component, is being able to accept both sides, that you will change and she will change, or he or she will change. You know what I'm saying? And in that, I mean, theoretically, yeah, that love is what's going to keep you together and all of that, despite, because shit's going to get ugly. Shit's going to change. But understanding and believing in the fact that, hey, this shit can still work, I think that's the component that has to work. And to what he's saying, yo, you can, without the love, you can still, like, you're a good partner and all that, and we can find a way to work together to make life or whatever prosperous for us. That's cool. But I do think, like, you can be in love with someone. Yeah.
See, I think that this shit can probably come. It's gonna, if you're lucky, you'll find somebody where it comes and goes. A sun rises and sets. It is not always light out. There will be darkness. It's just the natural cycle of things. That sun may rise again in your marriage. It may. You know what I'm saying? I think if you find that right person, then it actually will. But I don't think that emotion is going to be there consistently throughout your entire marriage. I think that every person in every marriage is going to get to some point where they'd be like,
"But I think there's a difference.
I might want to walk away."
I think there's a difference. I think there's a difference in bliss, like being blissfully in love, and then just like, yo, yes, we're in love. We are fighting like fuck right now. But of course, yes, I still love you. Of course.
Yeah, see, I think that is when it becomes just love and not in love.
I think the problem happens... Wait, let me ask y'all. When do y'all think the problem happens? What do you guys think? If you could give, like, one general statement about why relationships today don't work, why marriages specifically today don't work.
It's hard.
What would you say?
Marriages don't
just
work.
One thing?
One just statement.
I don't think that's
selfishness.
People are definitely less
compromised. Selfishness.
Yeah, I mean, that ties in.
That's the root.
We ain't got nothing to say.
That's the root of most, the majority of the problems is selfishness.
I think that, okay, values are different, man.
Let me ask you this. How many long-term relationships were you in before you got married?
Say it again?
Serious long-term?
Yeah.
Maybe two?
Like, no, how long did they last?
One. 2 years, maybe?
2 years, right. I think so many people, you got to go through the first step. You have to be in an actual relationship for, you know, years with a person to understand how a relationship works before you even move to, you know, get married. And I think so many people don't have that step. You know, they just stay with somebody for a couple months, try to get married, you know.
I feel like the entire society, like values in general, not just in marriage, has moved so drastically from that. 40, 50 years ago, a person would get a job and they would literally work that job
until they die.
Right, if you look at an actual sporting team, like the legends of games in the past, they wore one jersey,
right?
Just one. Now you're gonna work multiple jobs. Now you're gonna have that player who's great is gonna be wearing multiple jerseys. That's not a dedication to stick with anything the way it used to be. You can call it, you know, lack of being willing to compromise or selfishness or whatever, but those values don't exist like they used to in our society. So if you're talking about a marriage or a relationship, which is probably the hardest thing there is to make it work, is there somebody on the other side of it. Now we are together. Now every decision that I make, I have to make with you. There's nothing more difficult than that. I mean, that is kind of, so now you're going from a society where compromising or putting up with something was the status quo to now I'm not willing to compromise so much. So I'm still in this, I'm in a marriage where compromise is what I have to do to make shit work. Which is why I think that less people are going to get married. More marriages.
I agree, because it's like the me situation right now. Like, people ain't, if I have to give a fuck, or, you know, if I have the option to not give a fuck, or it's what I'm gonna choose, because I can get by. I'm doing me. It is what it is.
Who's to say it's a bad thing? Maybe they had it wrong years ago. Maybe we starting to get it right. You don't. I mean, you know, I think it's an individual thing.
Interesting.
Can we have a happy question?
Not long.
All right, you want to pick a question? I'm reading through the list. Y'all want to talk about going to parties? Y'all still go to parties?
That's funny.
Sure, we go to parties.
We went to a party on Friday.
Yeah, I go to my people's party.
Well, you were there.
I didn't say hi to you. I'm sorry.
I was talking about how she smelled you. I'm sorry.
I know.
Well, because she was off the cut.
Right, exactly.
She was off
basically.
The cut. Shell's in the cut. It was a scary sight. That's from a song, by the way. Never mind.
Oh. Do we still go to parties?
Yeah, do you
what
still
kinds
go to
parties?
To parties.
What kinds?
Like this one specified, is the club dying? The evolution of the day party, that's a statement, and why we, quote unquote, now prefer bars, etc.
Yeah, club is not dying.
I think it has a lot to do with age.
I'm
going to
say, I'm old. I don't want to be around nobody that I either A, taught.
Very possible.
You know, or B, know them because they were in a program that I implemented. And I'll be like, no, baby, I don't see you trying. I don't want to see you.
I think it's a combination of two things. I think the setting, I think clubs himself, like the environment is a little bit different. I think, like, it's pretty much okay. I'll date myself, but like, it used to be a nice little mix of like, hey, you know, it's people are someone dancing, some people are like having drinks, some people are just kind of standing around. Now it's kind of just like, look, my goal is to stand and not dance and not do anything and get a bottle or something so I can look hierarchically important in some way, I think that's the kind of the idea of a lot of parties. A lot of promoters sell it that way to people. Mm-hmm. I don't think to certain generations or certain types of folks, sometimes it just kind of gets boring in a sense. I mean, yeah, you can turn up or whatever and it's cool, but like consistently, I think for some people it's kind of dying. It's like
I think is in the African American community more than, because I don't think other races kick it like we do. I don't think they're trying to portray that image, and it's not a big thing for them to get a bottle. I think they just want to get drunk. Right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's different.
Can I go conspiracy corner on y'all?
Sure.
No, why not? It's almost the end of the show. So, when we were dancing, and that's what they said about us, we were singing and we was dancing, and that's why people wanted us around. We just made everything better when niggas were singing and dancing. Things were just happier in life, mm-hmm. and they don't dance no more. They don't dance no more.
What do
they do? They don't do shit in the shoe.
All they do is my
girl. Right. So I think, you know, on the conspiracy side, I think that something has been. I don't know who the boogeyman is. There's all my conspiracies are Swiss cheese. I'm the first to say it. There are plenty of holes. I haven't made the connections. All right, but there's a conspiracy to be had somewhere. That somebody took our music, they sucked the soul out of it, and now we don't want to do nothing but procreate with subpar humans. Is that what you said? Subpar relationships and subpar babies.
Now. Wait, we have subpar jobs. We're dating subpar people. We're going to subpar clubs. We're living subpar lives. I want everybody to upgrade and get some happiness, get some joy, get something more than this sort of wow.
I just think that there's a balance not being had for folk. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, 808s and, you know, 808 sonically sound great in the club, and they, you know, you get your bottom and you want to act a particular way, and that's cool, but at the same time, you ask, you know, why are people choosing to do other things? People like miss talking to other people in social situations.
And maybe I'm just getting old, because the parties I go to are not, like you said, clubs, which totally removed me. But a house party, a dinner party.
See, that's naturally part of getting older. Yeah. I don't think that there's a wizard behind the curtain. I think that music.
No.
I think that music. If to add to your point, I think music has lost its soul because people are dumber.
Subpar. That's all I'm saying.
Education has taken a step back.
Find the darkness.
I'm like, there's a man in there.
In any light.
What's a day party though? I'm sorry.
Ooh, I went to it.
So a day party
is during the daytime. Party
is just during the daytime.
But that provides like something for people to do.
It feels different
because the people who are throwing these day parties are a specific group of people, and they throw nice ones. Eventually, the day parties are gonna suck too,
And they've been doing day parties in other cities for a while. Day parties usually in places where there's nicer weather.
I don't know about the world here.
And you can do it consistently, like, you know, Miami and Atlanta and all that. And they do that, and they do it, and it's casual. But, you know, Chicago, we be kind of behind, but hey.
Hey, I don't like being in the room with more than five people at any given time, so hey, okay, it's fine. Wow.
But you know, like how you were saying, the not dancing thing, whatever, I think that's only in Chicago. Like, you go places like Vegas.
That's
like,
true.
People are just in the city are so self-conscious, whatever, and worried about what somebody would say about them if they actually dance.
Or dodging bullets?
Vegas clubs are typically not.
The music doesn't ask for dancing anymore. Right. Like the music generation ago, like, yo, that's how you got
to go. I enjoy some music. They were talking about the electronic house, music, whatever. You know, Calvin Harris movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a big movement that's coming back, and I mean, that's all about dance. I just think that we here in Chicago, like, we don't know anything about that. Like, we are kind
of
behind.
I just think some of the DJs suck.
Yeah. Mm. Is that what?
I said, I just think some of the DJs suck.
Go ahead, Michelle. Yeah.
Oh, now I have three things. things. Okay, one, I don't think that the music, like there was a point that the music changed in such a way that it wasn't booty shaking music anymore. So it was like, it just wasn't that. I also think people need to stop dancing because the damn club was so packed, there wasn't any room to dance. So like you ended up just standing around and, I mean, like uppity Negroes like to stand around and hug and look and stuff. They don't want to be their expensive t-shirts and shit. And then what Chicks just said is, yeah, some of our DJs do kind of suck. Like, there's a DJ that I've nicknamed in my head DJ Start Stop because when they play 10 seconds of the song, like basically soon as your body starts to respond, like identify what the track is,
you're keeping it about you when you do that. Is that safe to say? Like when you're a DJ and you're doing that, are you showing off or you're not playing to the crowd?
I feel like the DJ had 3,000 songs in his iPod and he was like, damn it, I'm gonna play every song.
Going for a record.
Wow. On that drug, like whatever that drug is that whoever is coming to this party and is paying is like, I'm having the greatest time of my life. I ain't on that drug. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Maybe you should be.
I think one of the best parties I've ever been to in Chicago was the Wonderful party where they play nothing but Stevie Wonder.
Whoa. Oh, see, that's the stuff they doing
that
on the city
party
that we don't
was
do here.
So cracking. And let me tell you,
we don't trust that people would.
Well, it was here in Chicago. It was just like a once a year kind of thing.
That's
but
what they do.
It was so cracking because, number one, Stevie has music you can dance to. Yep. Music that makes you want to dance. And the DJ was killing it. And everybody was getting down. I don't remember.
He wasn't from a Michael Jackson party like that, too, though.
Exactly. Yeah.
And there's a Prince party like that. Yeah. And typically, they don't have them in Chicago, like Avery said. It's something from New York that they bring here.
I think Chicago promoters and venues don't trust that stuff like that would be successful.
But then another thing is, I don't know that artists are making music that I want to dance to. I, as some late 20-year-old woman, am not going to the club and popping my booty to "Don't Stop, Work It Pop, Don't Stop."
Now, see, if you were 22, you'd probably be saying something different. I just feel like we're all older, and that's just not our thing.
Yeah, everybody's there.
Because some people, and I don't want to.
That's what it is.
You know. I was just going to say it. I feel like white people go to the club and they will listen to anything and it don't matter what's playing and they just dance. No matter if they play 10 seconds of it or 20 minutes of it, they just be sweating and drinking.
And Latino people, and a lot of Latino people are saying that. In fact, they go out with intention to dance and have fun.
Turning and sweating and, you know, dipping each other in this fun.
So part of the question is, what is our purpose when we go out? Like, what is our intention when we walk out the door and go someplace? Because you're right.
The girls try to get chose and the boys try to choose.
Black people are just.
But they just stand on the wall.
Just
staring
way
at each other.
Too cool to dance. Now, me personally, I don't like to dance. It's not fun to me. There's like two songs on earth that make me want to dance. Like two, like Heartbreak Hotel, like not Whitney Houston.
Y'all like the song, but I don't like the dance.
Y'all judging the shit out of me right now. Yo, the Place Hotel, Heartbreak, the Jackson 5. Exactly. Yeah. And then, if it, New Edition, if it isn't up. Like, those two songs come on, and I will make a fool of myself. Outside of that, Stevie Wonder on my head gonna be bopping.
Happy point. If it isn't love, I'm gonna give you. See, I was searching for a happy point.
Thank you, Edition. You know, I was thinking, what you said about age, and that is a good point. But I think to a certain degree, it might not be that for a good amount of people. It just may be the atmosphere or the intent. Mm-hmm. Like, you can be, you know what I'm saying, your early 30s, and you want to go out and have fun to, you know, KRS-One's Greatest Hits or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you have that intent to do so. I had a great time in a club outside of Chicago that hasn't been matched by Chicago yet. Mm-hmm. And everyone I kind of partied with at the time were older than me. You know what I'm saying? More established people, were in careers, and that was their intent. to have fun.
It is never going to be my intent to go to a club and dance it up. It would be my intent to go to the club and chill and have some good conversations and see some people. I just want to be around my people.
So basically, you're a lounge person.
I am. Yeah. But if...
No pun intended.
The place hotel... if a place... The hard place hotel comes on, though... Watch out. I'm getting it.
That's not my problem with the clubs. I'm not trying to yell in nobody's ear five times for them to understand the three words I was trying to say. Just be like, what?
Yeah.
I said, what? Yeah. Okay, forget it. That's it.
Yeah, the only parties I'm going to are the soul shop parties and Posh Girls, because those are my people. Like, I just want to be around my people at this point. I'm not trying to go
dance. To be honest, though, when I really want to cut loose, sometimes I don't want to be around my people.
True.
Are you embarrassed when you cut loose or
something? Well, for one, sometimes I am, because my rhythm be off sometimes.
It's okay.
Sometimes.
It's okay. It's what we're here for.
You know? She got that lame dance from
Seinfeld. Sometimes I'm going to parties where nobody's asking me what do I do for a living and what my pedigree is and like what school.
I mean, sometimes I just don't want to know everybody in the spot. Right. Sometimes you just want to be an anonymous person. Chilling, having a good time, and you can't always do that in Chicago clubs because, especially coming from the specific groups that we come from, where everybody knows each other, then you're always like in the club and it's
that fest. You absolutely can, you just gotta go kick it with the white.
You know, I feel like the generation under us has so much more fun at clubs / parties than we do. Like,
I think we sound much more envious of the generation under us
than
stuff they have at Reggie's. Like, I've been looking at pictures like, y'all look like y'all having a good time.
I don't know, because I don't go to where they are, so I have no idea.
I feel like younger people have less fucks to give.
Okay. Right.
So that they are afforded a little bit more leeway because, you know, you know what? It bothers me. It doesn't really bother me, but people still go out and kick it, and I'm thinking, like, I gotta go to work in the morning. I have to go to work so I can pay these bills so I can do what I need to do. And if you don't have no job and you at the club, that's cool for you.
I think even the ones with a lot of responsibility just kind of expect to go. Like, they, you know, the world is made for those not cursed with self-awareness. The people who have the most fun in an event like that are people who are not going to care what they look like when they dance. And they don't care what their hair is going to look like. They just going to dance just because that's what they want to do. You know what I mean? That is not our culture. First things first, what do I look like? What am I wearing here tonight? Which is why so much money is spent on things that don't actually have value.
So you can flip
value.
And be shop.
That's true.
Okay, to close out. We were talking about cuffing season last time.
Where are we? Where's our, like...
I want to know...
We're still on cuffing season.
Who is, like, the creme de la creme of being cuffed? Like, if creme you could, de la creme? If you could cuff the ideal... who is the ideal person you would cuff?
I did my cuffing already. That's what y'all...
Oh, yeah, that's true. You are cuffed.
So you're saying, like, in this particular point of cuffing season, who are, like, the top picks?
Yeah.
Who
do you have on your draft list? My idea was either, well, we don't really know who each other is dealing with personally.
Like real people.
But if you had, like, you know, celebrities or somebody who would be, like, your ideal. Yes. I don't understand why you're busting out laughing.
I got some humans in mind, but I can't name them.
Exactly, which is why I was going to keep it above board and just say, like, a celebrity or... a politician, or
you could just tell us what they look like and why they're your top
pick. And what they do for them.
And just spell their name. Just give us their initials.
Were you seeing them at last?
What high school they went to? What college they went to?
Exactly.
It's a couple cuties that I wouldn't mind.
Good for you. I mean that like that.
That was something good for you.
But I can't do any identifying information. That would be a good look.
Interesting.
Well, you would lose the upper hand anyway.
Correct.
Touche.
You can't lose that.
So my famous person, surprise, it was a surprise to me when I thought about this, Grant Hill.
Who?
Oh, yeah.
Who's now hosting the new version of Inside Stuff.
Yeah, isn't he like married to
Tamia? He's married to Tamia.
Okay.
Why Grant Hill?
Because A, he's married to Tamia.
Wait, that's why?
That's the end.
No,
she want to marry me.
He went to Duke. He went to Duke. He appears to be a faithful husband, as far as we know. He's, you know, a family man, as far as we know. He has a romantic side, as far as Tamia's songs go.
Right, exactly. Does she write your songs?
Yeah, some of them she does.
Why does that matter?
Because she doesn't write them, then it wouldn't be about him.
She sings them. Who cares?
But even so, even if she didn't write them, she would still be able to say, hey, could you write this? This is my life.
Also, you want to write songs for him.
No, I don't want. Well, yeah, I guess I would. If he was
there's
my boo.
There's a mirror.
If he was my boo.
She's like, now that you mention it.
If he was my boo, I'd write songs.
Y'all know who I would snatch up? I'm sorry, now on the celebrities is Derek Fisher.
Look at y'all, huh?
I don't care about that. I mean, he has really nice arms, but seriously, I really like that. Like when his kid was sick, mm-hmm. he changed teams in order to care for his child, mm-hmm. and I thought that was really, really admirable. And it's, I mean, not like it's unusual, like nobody else would do such a thing, but I just thought that was kind of dope, and it made me want to be friends with him.
I think it's ironic that both of you all chose these two really nice guys, because the nice guys are typically the ones who just get screwed over, even by women, and they sit around, and then eventually one woman actually scoops them up. But for the most part, I think most nice guys don't do well when it comes to dating.
The problem with nice guys is that they tend to not have any chemistry.
I think the problem with most nice guys is, I don't even want to get the conversation.
That's a whole other story.
We'll have to talk about that maybe next week. Mm-hmm. Why the nice guys finish last? Yeah. I think we'll discuss that. Anyway,
I got no realistic cuffing season draftees. I got no celebrity people. Nah.
You don't even have you said you have no realistic. You don't even have an unrealistic?
Nah.
That's a shame.
My current real life, it doesn't allow me the mental space to fantasize about stuff.
I think most men don't care about cuffing season anyway, but that's my theory.
I mean, I'd cuff something if I had time for it. I just ain't got time for that. I ain't got time to think about that.
Aww,
I know. Look, it's fine by me. Don't get me wrong.
It's not considered a failure if you don't bring nobody home for Christmas dinner. You know what I mean?
True.
On the other hand, some women are like, oh, I ain't got nobody
to bring. It's getting cold out.
I know Auntie so-and-so don't ask me if I'm dating somebody. I know she gonna ask, mm-hmm. and I ain't got nobody this time. That ain't the same thing for us.
I'm lucky. I don't have too many relatives that ask that question. So I'm good. Everybody else is kind of getting married on their own, so they leave me alone. Let me do my thing. Anywho, I guess that's all. Asia had to leave early, but Rob never got his proper introduction. I guess we're all evenly traded. Thank you guys for tuning in. Oh, I wanted to give a quick shout out to everybody who tuned in from various countries. We have the U.S., shout out to Finland, Mexico, Colombia, United Kingdom, Canada, France, Switzerland, Korea, and Germany. We are worldwide!
Okay.
Isn't that awesome? I thought that was cool.
I appreciate it. That's
anyway, cool. Y'all, thank you for tuning in. We really appreciate you. Next time, you can add us on Twitter at The Rock Box, or you can follow us on Instagram at The Rock Box. Again, this is Chiggady, Chiggady, signing out. I'm going to let everybody else say their peace outs.
Catch me next by Raphael. Cheers.
And Rob at BERZB.
DMJ Basic at Basic. DMJ BASIC.
At Shells is winning. CHELLZ is winning.
Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Saul says.
Bye.
Peace out, everybody.
You are now tuned in. You are now tuned in.
Y'all call me Tommy Ann.
I feel a chemistry. I won't let no one come and take your place. 'Cause I love you.
world, don't you understand?